Well, hello and welcome. It is good to be with you today. I always look forward to these times when we can be together to meet with the Lord and hear Him speak to us. I hope that you're having a great day and that our time together makes it even better. I want to thank Jonathan and Nikki for all that they do to help make these times possible. But obviously, more than anyone, I want to thank our Lord, and He's brought us together to meet with Him, to hear from Him. And so let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You so much for the day that You have given to us. Lord God, Your love for us. Father, the fact that You want us to have a relationship with You, You want us to know You, to experience You. And Father, I just pray, Lord, that You'll open our minds and our hearts, oh Lord, for that today. Lord, as we open Your Word, enable us to hear You speak through Your Word to us. Father, give us an understanding of the text. Show us how it applies to our lives. Father, show us, Lord, what You'd have us to do. Show us who You are. Speak to us, we pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. We know it's obvious that we're living in a time of increasing hostility toward God and toward His people. We hear about it in the news, especially if you keep up with the news through various Christian news organizations and sites. And you may very well have experienced hatred yourself, hatred toward God aimed through you from others. You probably have heard of individuals, maybe at their workplace or at school, who have been, I hate to use the word persecuted because we still are so wonderfully blessed, but at the same time have been tremendously pressured for their faith. What do we need to do in such times? You know, as we do face a society that's increasingly hostile toward our faith, as we find ourselves increasingly in situations where our faith and our desire to live in obedience unto our Lord are under attack and pressured, what is it that we need to do? Well, that's the context of Psalm 129. And in Psalm 129, the psalmist looks back over Israel's history, and he sees, you know, just the tremendous persecution that they've endured throughout their history. But he also looks around at the hatred that he is seeing and experiencing in his own time. And as we look at both of those things, we see lessons that we need to apply as we face the pressure, increasing hostility. And so as we look at this psalm and we begin to think about what we need to do in a period of increasing hostility, we see the first thing that we need to do is trust God's sustaining power. That is God's power and ability and how He uses it to sustain us, to uphold us. Think about verses 1 through 2. Many times they persecuted me from my youth, let Israel now say. Many times they persecuted me from my youth up. Yet they have not prevailed against me. The psalmist looks back over Israel's history, and there are many biblical scholars who think this is actually written after the Babylonian captivity. So in other words, the psalmist is looking back over centuries of hatred and hostility toward God's people. But look at what he said in the latter part of verse 2. Yet they have not prevailed against me. In spite of everything that the unbelieving world threw against Israel, in spite of everything that they threw, including, you know, the rule, an authority of Satan, God had in fact sustained His people. You think about what we saw back in Psalm 124. And I know that's a long cross-reference, but just think about that psalm again. Had it not been for the Lord who is on our side, let Israel now say, had it not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us alive when their anger was kindled against us. Then the waters would have engulfed us. The stream would have swept over our soul. Then the raging waters would have swept over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who's not given us to be torn by their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare of the trapper. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. You think about the wonderful aspect there, and you think about how the psalmist was able to say, you know, that God had in fact intervened. He made it stated more or less, you know, if God had not been there for us, we would have been sunk. But God was there for them. God did intervene, and God did in fact carry them. God does and will intervene and carry us for however long He has determined, that the pressure, the adversity, the hostility, as long as He has planned for it to last. And we need to trust His sustaining power to carry us unto His will. You think about David, all those years of being persecuted and chased, and yet God sustained him. We need to trust God's sustaining power. We also need to, number two, trust God's deliverance. Look at verses 3 through 4. The plowers plowed upon my back. They lengthened their furrows. The Lord is righteous. He has cut in two the cords of the wicked. You know, the picture there is graphic. The picture there is, in fact, vivid. It's as if the wicked plowed the back of the righteous with long, deep furrows. And you study Israel's history, you see that. You see the history of God's people through the years. You certainly see it. You think about the tremendous persecution during the Reformation. You think about brothers and sisters in Christ around the world. You think about, again, we're certainly not under persecution in this nation, but we are under increasing pressure and hostility. The hatred. You think about the damage that's done to people academically, economically, occupationally. You think about the emotional hurt when all that comes from a family member or from a friend. You know, the picture is graphic, but it's so accurate. Almost like, you know, a field being ripped apart by plows. But look again what it says in verse 4. The Lord is righteous. He has cut in two the cords of the wicked. In His time and in His way, God delivered. In His time and His way, God will in fact deliver us. He always delivers. Now sometimes, like we mentioned David a moment ago, God delivers us out of the problem. Sometimes, like Stephen, who was martyred for his faith, we're delivered through the problem. But God never leaves us. He never abandons us. And God will, in fact, deliver us. Sometimes situationally, but always eternally. Certainly, whether by our passing or His return, we will, in fact, be delivered. We can look to our Lord. We can trust Him. He will deliver. But look what else. We see, thirdly, that we can trust God's justice. Look at verses 5 through 7. May all who hate Zion be put to shame and turned backward. Let them be like grass upon the housetops, which withers before it grows up, with which the reaper does not fill his hand, or the binder of sheaves his bosom. Obviously, this is an imprecatory psalm. It's a psalm that was based upon the covenant that God made with Israel. It was based on law. It was based upon God's justice. You and I can put our faith and our trust and our confidence in God to do what is in fact right. You remember when Abraham was praying and interceding for Lot before God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of its sin? And of course, well-known story, you know it very well from Genesis 18, but you remember that statement that Abraham said to the Lord, "Will not the judge of the earth do what is right?" And of course, the obvious answer is, yes, He will. We serve a God who is in fact just, and we can trust God's justice to do what is right in the right way and in fact at the right time. God will do what is right. He is righteous, He is holy, He is active, and God will work in the situation. And we can trust Him. In fact, as His righteous nature won't allow Him to act any other way. And so we can trust God's justice. In His time and His way, He'll make all things right. But then lastly, in spite of all the pressure around us, we can trust God's blessing. Look at verse 8. Nor do those who pass by say, "The blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord." It was a blessing. It was a greeting for them, obviously. But it continues the context of those who had, in fact, sinned against God and sinned against His people, and the idea being there that that blessing not be pronounced upon them. But the aspect is that there is a hope, that there is an assurance, that there is a confidence that God will in fact bless those who live for Him. And many times that blessing is not in by giving them a time where there's no problem or difficulty, but blessing them in the midst of it. You think about what we see over in Psalm 23, verses 5 through 6. Psalm 23, verses 5 through 6. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You've anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Where did David experience the table prepared for him? Where did David have the experience of his head being anointed with oil? Where did David have the cup overflow? It was in the very presence of his enemies. Not in absence of them, but in the very presence of them. God blessed him in the midst of them. In the very midst of hostility, David experienced the blessing. And so the psalmist, he looks back over Israel's history, and he sees how God has always blessed them, dealt with their enemies, delivered Israel, sustained them. And he has a confidence that God always will. It's the same with us. Though what we're seeing is troubling, and we obviously cannot help but wonder where it will end and pray that God will send revival upon this nation and its path be turned, the reality is we can trust God even in times of increasing hostility. He does sustain. He will deliver in His time, and He will bless, and we can rest in Him. And so as we go through these times, more than ever, our mind, our heart, our focus, our trust needs to be in the Lord. He is worthy of that trust. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You. That first of all, O Lord, that You are real and that You're true. Father, nothing is happening except what You said would happen, which confirms Your truthfulness, Your reality, Your trustworthiness. Father, as we live in these times, help our minds and our hearts, our focus, to be on You evermore. And Lord, by keeping our minds on You, may we trust, O God, that You will sustain and deliver and bless, that, Lord God, that when Your time is right, that the justice will in fact flow. Father, thank You. Carry us, O God. We need You deeply. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I hope as you go through this day, I hope this is a great day for you. But even if it's a time of adversity and difficulty, even if you're experiencing firsthand the hostility toward God's people, I hope that your mind, your heart will be focused upon the Lord, that you will experience Him in ways that you never have, and that in spite of whatever may be taking place around you, that you will have a great day in Him.